I love that song, Freeman. Oh, what a Savior. Wonderful Jesus. In fact, let's pray. Lord, you are a wonderful Savior, an amazing God. Lord, victorious over the grave, you promised your disciples that you would be with them until the very end of the age. And Father, we claim that promise. Lord, we pray you would be here in our midst as we worship you, as we praise you, as we cry out. Father, I pray for myself that you would fill me with your Spirit as I speak this morning, Lord, that it be your words that come from me, not my own. Lord, I pray that that would be what is heard by the others, because I know my words are empty. But your word always comes back with fruit. I pray that would be the case, and I pray that in your strong name. Amen. You guys ever notice how much of life sort of revolves around parties or celebrations? We sort of mark the year by them, don't we? You know, there's the Christmas season and the Easter season and summer vacation and anniversaries and other dates. And we mark the year by these celebrations we'll do, our birthday. You ever notice with those celebrations, one of the most important factors is always food? Right? Right? Who's with me? You know, it's not a party if the food's not right.
Preach it, brother.
Jesse's in the back. But right? Like, you know, sometimes, you know, if you go to a wedding and the food's not good, you're just like, this isn't so great. If you, you know, I'm already planning my anniversary with Joy is in July, and I'm already thinking, where are we going to go? What restaurant or place will I take her? Or what am I going to make as an anniversary dish to celebrate, you know, 3 years of marriage? Food is important to those things, and it was important throughout history. One of the amazing things about faith and about every religion is you find out that most of their celebrations revolve around food in some way. So whether you're talking about Muslims and the month of fasting in Ramadan, or whether you're talking about, you know, Chinese celebrations, or Indian celebrations such as Vaisakhi, which just happened in Surrey where I live, food is an important part. And it was to the Jewish people as well. If you look at the celebrations, at the festivals, food is often an integral component. Whether it's the Passover during that season, or whether it's what you eat when you're celebrating the Festival of Waters, or the Feast of Tabernacles. Today we're in Deuteronomy, we're going to look at one of those festivals. And it's not surprising that this is one that intimately involves food. It's the Festival of the First Fruits. Now I got to ask though, as I was reading this, I thought about this, and I thought about all the parties I've been to over the years, all the celebrations. You ever been to like a joint party where everybody's bringing something? And there's always that one person who brings fruit, isn't there? There's always that one guy where you're going to be like, hey, who brought the fruit? Like, this is a barbecue party, and you brought like apples, like. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 26, and we'll see what God says about those who have to bring fruit. And I'm going to read from verse 1 down to about verse 15. So it'll be on the screen behind me there. If you have a Bible, feel free to use that. If you got a phone, use your phone. But here we are. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it, and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time. And say to the priest, I declare today to the Lord your God, that I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And the priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. that the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the sojourner residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. And when you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion, and have given it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel, and the land you have given us as you promised on an oath to our ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. This passage establishes for Israel one of their festivals. And if you look at the life of Israel, there's a number of festivals that go on throughout the year. And they all serve one purpose, to remind the people of their joint story. Whether it's Passover, to remind them of their coming out of Egypt, or the Festival of Tabernacles, to remind them of their wandering in the wilderness when they all lived in tents, or others, they're there to remind them. And this becomes one of their festivals, the Festival of First Fruits. When you study it, it sounds like an amazing event. What would happen is, all those who farmed in the land would come to Israel at the appropriate time, bearing these baskets which would be woven out of willow or silk, and they would have tied to them doves on the edges for offerings. And they would march into Jerusalem through the main gate, and as they marched in, they would be met by musicians, by pipers and drummers, who would then join them and begin worshiping God as they moved up Jerusalem into the temple courts, where the offerings would be made, and the streets would flood with people who would come out and join them and worship with them. You can nearly see it like a mass parade up to the gates of the temple. And there they would say the prescribed things and lay the offering before the altar. They would remember that it was God who brought them into this land. They would tell again their story, that we were foreigners in Egypt. We were oppressed, we were suppressed, and God brought us out, and he brought us here to a land flowing with milk and honey, just like he'd promised Abraham. It served to remind them that God keeps his promises, but it also served further meanings than that. I think there's a few things in here we often miss, and they're the things I wanted to talk about this morning. The first is the fruits that they're bringing. See, it's easy to ignore. You go, okay, then they're bringing fruit. But the passage has a specific type of fruit they're supposed to bring. It says you were to bring some of the first fruits that the land gives you every year. Now, most of us aren't farmers, but if you were a farmer, you would understand that that's a daunting command. See, the first fruits of the year are always the most valuable to you for a number of reasons. One, you have to remember, this is a society without air travel, without refrigeration, for the most part. I mean, you might have a cooler shelf where you can keep things to last a little bit longer, but they don't have mass transport. When the seasons changed and new fruit became available, It was an immensely exciting time. You could eat something different for a change. I mean, could you imagine if every month all you had were the same fruits until the seasons changed and new fruits were available? You'd be amazingly delighted when it was blueberry season and you could eat blueberries for a little while. Because it would be something different. And so it made the first fruits valuable, monetarily. Because as the season changed, those first ones were exciting. And they were worth top dollar to people who wanted to switch up their diet. So you could get more money for them. Except God goes, no, those are mine. The other thing that you need to remember as a farmer is the first fruits might be your only fruits. See, farming is unpredictable. You might get some fruit, and then a plague might strike, and your fields might wither. Or there might be a cold snap that kills everything on the vine. Or the locusts might hit your property. Or a number of other things. Farming is unpredictable, as any farmer will tell you. And so when you get the first fruits, you've got something. And your temptation, of course, is keep those. At least then if something happens later, you've got a store. Except God goes, no, those are mine. See, I think what Jesus is reminding them and what God is reminding them through this passage is, you bring the first to remind yourself that I have always supplied for you, that I have kept my promises, that your provision has never been in your own hands from what you bring, from what you grow. It's been my arm that has stretched out and kept you. It's been me. And you honor that by bringing your first fruits and saying, Lord, we rely on you again. Would we lay this down knowing you will provide for your people? It's a reminder that the Lord is their provider, not them. That their provision has always been in his hands. And a reminder that throughout their history, he has always provided. So they bring the first fruits, those most valuable, maybe the only fruits, and they lay them down. It's the same reason that we encourage offering around here. So you bring a little bit of what God has given you, and you say, Lord, I trust that you will provide for me, even in my need. Jesus himself points to this when he points to a widow one day at the temple. He's offering two small coins. He compares her to a Pharisee who has brought a tenth of everything he owns, this massive pile. He goes, you don't understand, that widow has more faith. Because she just offered everything she has, down to her last penny. She trusts God, she knows he'll provide. That Pharisee, he's got more at home. The same way, it's a reminder to us, God will provide. As we offer up and we go, gee, I could maybe really use this. We go, but the Lord will provide for me. Now, the other side is who this goes towards that I find interesting in this passage. See, as you read the passage and as you dig deeper into it, it says that you bring it and you lay it before the altar, but then you're to give it to a group of people, and it lists them, the Levites, the foreigner or the sojourner among you, the motherless, the fatherless, the widow. It's an understanding that, unlike other cultures where you would bring an offering before God or the gods or whoever, and you would lay it before the altar and it would sit there and rot, that God doesn't want that. I've seen this often. Maybe you have too. I've walked into various restaurants and other places and you'll find a small altar and sitting in front of it are some beautiful fruit just rotting. You know, we offered it to the gods. And here God says, no, don't leave it there to rot. No, use it to bless others. Give it to the Levite who serves me. Give it to the foreigner in your land who might not have enough to get by to bless him. Give it to the widow who doesn't have a husband or children to look after her. Give it to the fatherless who are without a provider in this place. bless them through it. That they too can remember that God is their provision and God is providing through this festival for them. It's kind of a unique system. You're giving, saying that I trust God to provide for me so that others can have God provide for them. It's a reminder on both fronts. For the giver, it reminds them that God is their provision. For the receiver, it reminds them that God is providing right now. But it requires tremendous grace on both sides. On the side of the giver, it requires them to have that understanding that God is their provision. That no matter how hard they work, no matter how hard they strive, no matter which position they have, God is always their provision. Because tomorrow that could all be taken from them. And so it requires them to go with that knowledge. For the giver, it requires them to have some humility and remember that God is their provision. That they're not too ashamed to say, I need to take this. That they're not like, oh, well, I need to pull myself up by my bootstraps and look after myself. But instead they go, God is my provision. And this is how he's providing for me right now. It's also in calls on the rest of the society to see it that way as well. You know, often when I wander, I sometimes hear things like, oh, those homeless, they should get a job and pull themselves up. You know, the rest of us did it. And that's true sometimes. Some of them, yeah, maybe. But for a lot of them, when you talk to them, there's mental illness. There's addiction issues. There's the fact that they really don't have nice clothes, and it's hard to go to a job interview when you haven't showered in 4 days. And so there's a place, too, where we say, but the call of God on us is to provide for those less fortunate and to remind them that God is their provision through us. The word that struck out in here for me this week as I was reading this was the word sojourner or foreigner. I was watching again the news. I was reading the newspapers. And I follow things because, well, I got time. And because I like to be informed about my world, as you should. And I was reading again the news out of France. And for those of you who don't know, the French elections are going to be happening soon. It looks like the winner will probably be a woman who's really run on a platform of, I will kick the immigrants out of France. It's pretty much her platform. You know, it's a little bit more nuanced than that when she states it, but that's really what she's running on. And she's going, look, they're eating up our resources and they're taking up our land and they're not like us. So I read that again. I read comments out of the States. I read Canadians agreeing with her. My heart was wounded. See, many of the people I was reading claimed to be Christians. And yet they clearly hadn't read texts like this one. They clearly hadn't read places where God said, no, no, your job is to be my provision for those among you who have less. So that they too can bless my name. So that they can remember that the Lord has provided for them. It was your job is to be a blessing to the nations. Not to be a people who go, well, if you're not one of us, then who cares? No. Challenged me again that I need to reevaluate in my own life. Am I bringing those first fruits? See, I sit on one side of that coin, and that side of the coin is that I am tremendously blessed, as most of us are in this room. I have a good job. I live in a land where I have endless opportunity. And even if you don't think you have endless opportunity, trust me, go to some other part of the world. Talk to them and they'll tell you you do. Go to the Philippines and walk the slums. Go to Africa or parts of Asia and talk to the people there and talk about how much they'd like to make $80 an hour Canadian when they're struggling just to get enough to buy food for the day. So as someone who's tremendously blessed, it's on me then to go, how do I bring my first fruits? Do I bring them with joy as an understanding that God has provided for me and now I can provide for others? Or do I bring them with grumbling that God demands that I give up some of what is mine that I have gotten for myself, forgetting that God gave it to me in the first place? It's a hard challenge. But it's one we need to live up to. Because of the verse that follows in this text. See, after all this is done, the Lord says this. He says, after you've made these declarations, and the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession as he has promised you, and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in high honor above all the nations, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God. See, it's when we keep the Lord's commandments, when we remember our place as his people that he has provided for, that he sets us apart, that he calls us holy. I'm not always good at that. I often look at people and go, oh, why don't they try harder? Oh, it's sad they got themselves into that state, but they made their bed, they should lie in it. Oh, well, they knew what their choices were. Oh, they should have just done better. And yet, God challenges me on that through passages like this. He goes, no. It's not your call to decide those things. Your call is to be the provider so that they know that I care for them. So they know that they too are my people, and I look after them. Pray with me. Lord, we are often a people who forget that every day our provision comes from you, Lord. We look at our strengths and we look at what we think we've done, and we go, no, I provide for myself. I look after myself. I do it in my own strength. We forget once again that no, you are our provider. You are our strength. And that without your hand guiding us, we would be nothing. Lord, remind us of that. And remind us of our place then too as your people, as people you have provided for, to reach out, to provide for others, to bless others as you have blessed us. Lord, so that they too can feel your love for them. Feel your care for them and come to you in praise and in honor. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.